We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The first of its kind basketball tournament is in full swing, and today I partner with DraftKings, and they have so many ways to get you in on the action. All right? Right now, new customers who bet $5 can get bonus bets of $150 instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use my promo code TBC. Let me know which teams you're riding with in the comments. That's right, new customers can bet just $5 on any wager and get $150 in bonus bets. So make sure you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code TBC.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Nah, this is special.
Yes, Jada Pinkett Smith. Welcome.
Thank you.
How you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good.
You glowing.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, life is good.
Right.
Even in the chaos.
Even in the chaos. I mean, life is chaos.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? So you just get in harmony with that.
That's interesting you say that, because I always be wondering, like, yo, are we ever going to find peace on this planet, or do we just exist within the chaos? The chaos is normal.
Yeah, I think, you know, just in my journey, I've just been discovering that you kind of have to just rise above it, mm-hmm. right? Because the world is going to be what it's going to be, right? I actually think that the world is a university, you know, to teach us how to transcend it.
Mm.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you got to make peace with what this world is about. But I don't think that this place is our sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think, you know, ascending it and going into more of the spiritual places, mm-hmm. you know, and just kind of understanding, living your life from there within the world. I mean, that's what they say, you know, be in it, but not of it.
You ever get tired of it, though? Because you've been on this tour for a while and you're very big on energy and vibrations. And,
yeah.
and sometimes I'm sure the energy and vibrations have been all over the place. But it seems like you've been on tour
yeah.
for a long time. You ever get tired of it? Like, all right, now enough's enough now.
You know, I think that if I put myself in that frame of mind and I just bring myself a level of discomfort that's not necessary,
mm-hmm.
right? You just go, it is what it is. So how are you going to step up to the moment?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it is. And so that's where I find my peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Since the release of this book, what is your ego been telling you?
My ego?
Mm-hmm.
My ego has been telling me to let go, you know, because it takes a lot of courage to sit in your truth. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to be happy. So when you're walking through the world and you're dismantling ideas, you know, you kind of have to, in that dismantle, you just kind of have to let go of everything that you thought you were,
mm-hmm.
everything that you're trying to be, and just flow,
mm-hmm.
right? Just let whatever is presenting itself just kind of be what mm-hmm. it is,
mm-hmm.
you know? But you definitely got to let go. So it's been a real test in regards to trust, you know? Mm-hmm. And just can't trust the ego in that way anymore. But you know, that's a process. So
Absolutely. As
I'm dismantling, so you go from one ego state to the next,
Absolutely.
Right? So it just gets smaller, I guess, you know, but the ego is always going to be there.
Always.
So, you know, you just kind of learn how to make friends with your ego and have it work for you in a different way for a different purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's what I'm working with right now.
Has this truth helped your relationship with friends, family, and even your marriage? Has this truth and all the things that came out, or did it make things worse?
Oh no. See, I didn't step into this walk until my situation with my friends, my family, and specifically Will was tight.
Mm.
Right? Because I already knew how disruptive it was going to be. So I had to make sure that my inner circle was tight, right? So that we could walk this together hand in hand, right? So it's actually, you know, specifically for Will and I, it's definitely brought us closer. It's so funny how crisis will do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what
Especially
I mean?
Especially when you love somebody.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing about Will and I, is just like we just learn more and more as we go that this is what we were built to do, you know, with each other, you know, and to walk together. And, you know, just like any long-term relationship, it goes through its shit.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so you gotta take your time. I really had to grow emotionally. Hadn't realized how emotionally immature I was.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's the thing about long-term relationships that are fantastic, if you can just hang in there, because it's going to force you to step your game up if you want to be happy, you know? And so Will's been one of my greatest teachers on my journey,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I've been forced to have to deal with my stuff, you know?
What stuff? Because you said you're immature. What immaturity? Do you see when you look at yourself?
Well, I would say, you know, about 7 years ago, just when you're just hanging on to these romantic ideas of what marriage should be, what your partner should be for you, so that you don't have to be the thing for mm. yourself.
Mm.
Like when you keep banging on somebody like, no, I need you to show up this way because I need to feel a certain way about myself. Right? That in itself is just like, hold up. You want somebody else to be something for you that you're not willing to be for yourself? Mm-hmm. First of all, how do you call that love?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I had to like step away to really realize that, you know? And so me getting myself in alignment and just realizing like, yo, Jada, you got a lot of work to do. And then doing that work and then being able to present myself with more of myself, and then being able to see Will as who he is and just accept him and love him there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think gets lost you know, in the book if you haven't read the book.
Right.
Like, you think all the convos about Tupac and Will distracted from what this book really has to offer? Because I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I knew that. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be a lot of distractions, right? And I was like, hopefully this book will have legs so that once all of the chatter dies down, we can get to the real components of the book. Now, people who've actually read the book are on it, mm-hmm. right? They see that. So,
it's a journey of healing.
It's a journey of healing.
It's a journey of somebody trying to find their worthiness, which is, you know, all of us have struggled with that. Imposter syndrome, not feeling worthy.
Yeah.
If you read the book, you see somebody really laying it out in detail, the journey to get to that place of worthiness.
And it's a universal struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, we all do it in different ways, right? But it's a universal struggle. And so, yeah, that's I really wanted to lay that out in the way that I did, especially... Once again, just dismantling these ideas of perfection, you know, because mm-hmm. we also have these societal romantic ideas of what somebody in my position, what my life should look like, who I should be within it, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, no. Like, real life is real life, no matter what station you're sitting at, period, mm-hmm. you know?
Do you regret leading with a lot of that stuff?
Leading with a lot of...
The talk about Will, to talk about Pac. Because, you know, those just became sound bites and headlines on the internet, clips. You regret leading with that?
You know, it's so difficult because when you're dealing with media, that's what people want to attach to. Mm-hmm. People not interested. You know, that's not the clickbait, the journey part of it. The clickbait mm-hmm. is, you know, the Tupac, the Will, so... Mm-hmm. You got to kind of get past the clickbait where people get exhausted with that mm-hmm. and that dies down and then people can get with the real. But it's hard to avoid it, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's hard to avoid it.
When did you get to a point where you knew that's what you needed, right? Because we look at your life and we see the wedding, we see the trips, we see all of that. When did you realize and say, I need to fix this because this isn't right with me? What was that moment?
I would say that I got slammed up against a wall probably when I was really confronted with some really heavy suicidal thoughts. Mm. You know, when I was looking for cliffs to drive over, you know, so that my suicide would look like an accident, so my kids wouldn't think that I committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And, I did a plant medicine journey.
Ayahuasca. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Let me know when. I got you. You know, it's like, and that was a real awakening for me. You know, when I really had to be confronted with my own shadow, my own self-hatred. And it was so strong and it was so scary. I was like, whoa. I didn't even want to be with that. And I'm like, asking somebody else to contend with that? Mm-hmm. That was the first moment that I realized, oh, Jada, you got some stuff to deal with.
And what got you to that point? Because most people would look on the outside and be like, you know, she's rich. She's a movie star.
Right.
She's dating another movie star. She has beautiful kids. Your mom is still there. Like, it looks like to the outside, the life is perfect. So what in that perfect life on the outside made you feel imperfect, or made you not feel like this is what I want?
It was like dealing with the foundational wounds, right? I hadn't dealt with, and that's what most of us mm-hmm. don't even know what our foundational wounds are. We don't even know we're foundationally wounded, mm-hmm. right? And so it started in childhood. You know, you got two parents who are addicts, and you're not the priority, right? And then just the levels and just the trauma that gets built upon what that environment is like, right? And I thought that making it would heal it all. Mm-hmm. You know, success takes care of everything, mm-hmm. right? And then it was like, okay, made it to Hollywood, that's not it. And then I met this fantastic guy and I was on this whirlwind of romance with Will and I was like, he's gonna fix it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He is the knight in shining armor.
The savior prince.
He's the savior prince. Mm-hmm. he's going to fix it. So it went from one false belief to the next. And I talk about trying to check all the boxes. It's like, checked all the fucking boxes.
Mm-hmm.
What is left? Right? And then having to realize, oh, man, oh, yeah, you're not dealing with your stuff. That's what's left.
Mm.
So it just goes to show that we can have all of these exterior things, you know, but that's not the thing that's going to heal the soul.
When I read your book, it makes me think all of that, and it makes me think of the quote, your happiness is your responsibility. If you mm-hmm. expect others to make you happy, you will always be disappointed. Do you agree?
Absolutely. People can assist in your happiness, but they can't make you happy. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times that we get caught up in those romantic ideas that other things, other people's circumstances can make us happy. And it just doesn't work that way. They can add to our happiness. You know, if we have a foundational place within ourselves that can give us that happiness.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, when we used to watch Red Table Talk, people would be like, who is Jada Pinkett? Yeah, take off the drug dealer code, Jada. You,
is that a drug dealer code?
You're giving drug dealer energy.
Am I giving you drug dealer energy?
When I read that in the book, I was like, Jada Pinkett Smith was in the streets like that? But when you walked in, I'm like, oh, I see it. I see the little kingpin.
Oh, snap. I'm sorry about
little
that.
A 5 and 10.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
You see how you threw kingpin on you? We ain't even throw a little bit. Yeah. Little kingpin on you.
I see it.
Sorry about that.
But when people used to watch Red Table Talk, they used to be like, Why is Jada Pinkett Smith an expert at anything? But in the book, you refer to yourself as, you say you're a pseudo guru.
Yeah.
You said in the, it's in the Feeling of Rain chapter, that you seem to often set yourself up to fall off the edge of high and mightydom.
Yeah.
But you admit at the time you didn't know shit.
Yes.
Like, why talk to yourself like that?
Well, because it's the truth.
Damn.
You know, and I think that when we're really on that game of healing, like the person that you got to be the most honest with is yourself.
That's right.
And a lot of times that could be the most difficult when you really got to look at yourself and realize, you know, where you thought you were something and now you realize that you ain't, you know? And so, yeah, you just got to learn how to be deeply honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And as I talk to myself that way, I can also hug myself in saying that, you know.
Can you talk to us about the gardening lessons you learned from your grandmother? Because I thought that was
very powerful. I mean, just the cultivation of love, you know, and how you can take things that are seemingly, you know, you could take fish heads and apple peels, you know, stuff that seems like trash, and put it in the ground and fertilize the ground, right? And really beautiful things will grow. Well, that's life too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can take experiences that people might feel as though are unsavory or whatever, right? But it is those things that if we use it to nourish, you know, those spaces of our hearts, spaces of our souls, they can be put to good use,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make really beautiful things grow.
Now, you talk about love so much and you talk about how you felt. At one time, you are against marriage, right?
Yeah.
Is that because you've seen your parents and their relationship?
That was.
And what changed your mind?
Yeah, I think that was really like, I got to see my grandparents, who both sets of grandparents had a really long lasting marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't quite sure that it was the pinnacle of happiness, right? And so, you know, when you're young, you're a free spirit. And I'm just like, no, I can do this different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I want to be happy. I'm not quite sure that's what happy is. Like, how can I be in a relationship and be happy? You know, I was all about the devotion of it, but I wasn't quite sure that marriage was the thing, right? And it wasn't until maybe, I'll be honest, like maybe 3 years ago.
3 years ago? You've been married all this time, and it wasn't the 3 years ago.
Another headline. There you go.
You were married.
There you go.
All this time.
Jada Pinkett Smith said, "See, you wasn't happy until three years ago."
No, 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 no. Not that I wasn't happy.
Okay.
Not that I wasn't happy, but I got to see the power of marriage
3 years ago.
Mm. I got
like,
to see the
you
power.
You mean like the vows, like till death do us part, sickness and health.
Not even. Well, yeah and no. Right. Mm-hmm. I got to see how marriage is a. It is a holy path for real,
mm-hmm.
right? Just in regards to learning about love. Because it takes a long time to break down all the different false beliefs that we have about love, mm-hmm. right? And the thing about a holy matrimony, and it's not to say that you're not gonna go through some unholy stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? But when two people are committed and just refuse to quit, what you can learn about yourself, about your partner, and about love in general, you can't really learn by going from one relationship to the next, looking for the honeymoon stage over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Specifically, if you're interested in learning about unconditional love, you know? And so I was like, oh, snap. This is what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So what took place 3 years ago? What like what was that moment 3 years ago?
I would probably say when Will going through the process of emancipation.
Mm.
And then once he finished emancipation and the stuff that started coming up for him,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's when he was like, hey, can we get back into some therapy together? And the stuff that was coming up for him and the kind of conversations we were starting to have, I was like, okay, here we are. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, And everybody starts their journeys in different ways at different times, you know what I'm saying? But that's when I knew. I was like, okay. And then we went to the Oscars and that whole thing happened. And it wasn't, I didn't even think twice about it when I saw what was happening. I was like, I'm not leaving this man's side.
Hmm.
I'm not leaving this man's side.
Do you think up until the point of 3 years ago, do you think y'all had just more of a trauma bond?
I would say yes and no. I would say we had a trauma bond, and then underneath of it, there was this real deep friendship, this spiritual bond too. Because you can start breaking through your trauma and start talking through your trauma, and if it's just a trauma bond, once you start to heal, and you start going your separate ways, it's done. Mm-hmm. If it's just a trauma bond,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. But when you can feel that spiritual bind, once you're doing the healing and that spiritual bind is just yoking you tighter, then you know it's something else.
Mm.
You know, and you really have to have the discernment to know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you do just have a trauma bond with somebody, and sometimes you just got to get away. You know what I'm saying? And so you got to really like sit with yourself and have the discernment to know the difference.
Now that's real, because sometimes you heal so much, you be like, man, you look around, be like, I don't like nobody.
No, I'm exactly. That's real talk.
I don't like none of y'all.
Yeah, straight up, because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and that's part of it too, you know, and that's part of why we have to have the courage, because innately, you know, once you start healing, a whole lot is going to change.
That's right.
What were your thoughts on people, right? And the reason I ask is, you know, one time, well, he still is, but Will Smith was America's sweetheart, right?
Yeah.
From the music industry to the movies, everybody loved Will. But after the Oscars, it seems like the world and even friends I've seen the y'all just changed and switched. Mm-hmm. So what was going through your mind frame there, and how did you deal with that?
Yeah, you know, so going back to these ideas of romanticism, right? When we talk about those societal romanticisms, mm-hmm. you want to believe that there's a reality in regards to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there is a place of perfection in this world, right? And so I really understood, like, that dynamic because I went through that personally within myself, dealing with having to look at the imperfect parts of myself and not liking it and really being very disappointed, having to really look at the imperfections of my relationship and not liking that and being really disappointed in fighting against wanting to believe that the romantic idea of marriage and life did not exist. So I completely understood when masses were just like upset, you know, that what they believed was not true. You know, there's no such thing as that. It doesn't mean that there's not beauty there. You know, but expecting someone to uphold this level of perfectionism, you know, and I understood. And so you have to allow people to go through their process, just like how I had to go through my process,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get to the other side of that. But the real deal is that that Will is all of those things. Still.
We all are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, he's as beautiful as people believed him to be, but yet he also has, you know, his stuff too,
mm-hmm.
like we all do,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it doesn't make him any less of the beauty that, you know, he always wants to offer mm-hmm. and the laughter, you know?
You say in the book that you and Will had pictures in your mind of what a happily married couple was, but your pictures didn't match. Do they ever and do they now?
Well, they do. You know, you can get to a place. So when you start to break down and dismantle all of your false beliefs and you start to pare it all down to truth and you two can look at each other, you know, in the darkness of the cave and in the brightness of the sunshine and accept it all and everything in between. Yes. You know, that's mm-hmm. when you start to be able to have more compassion for one another, more respect for one another, more consideration for one another versus this power struggle
mm-hmm.
of like, no, my way's the right way. You should see it my way. You know, no, my way's the right mm-hmm. way. You know, all of that we all go through.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to see, oh man, there's this yin and yang balance that needs to happen. Both ways are right, right? So how do we integrate them?
Yeah, because it's like the intention and goal is what should matter the most, right?
Absolutely.
Our intention is to have a happy marriage. Our goal is to have a happy marriage. So does it matter what you think about getting to that happiness or what he thinks, as long as y'all both are trying to be happy?
That's it,
mm-hmm.
right? But you've got to break down the egos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two individuals have to be willing to break down the egos. And because when the ego's in place, there's no room for love. So if you really want to learn how to love, you got to be willing to let go of that ego.
Absolutely.
One thing I love about the book is the title, Worthy. Because, you know, for anybody who's ever dealt with imposter syndrome, who struggled to get to a place of worthy, that title stands out. So what is worthy to Jada Pinkett Smith?
You know, worthy is when you can really be 10 toes down on your self-love, when you can be your own individual in regards to, like, you wake up in the morning by yourself, you look in the mirror and you are enough. Now, I know that's cliche,
because
mm-hmm. I used to hate hearing that stuff too, like, you know, you're enough and self-love and all of that. But at the end of the day, that's what's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when you know that you're enough, when you know, when you're in the deep, darkest places, you know, of despair, and you're able to bring yourself up out of there because of how you're loving on yourself, and you don't need your husband, your wife, your kids, your best friend, mm-hmm. you don't need nothing. That's when you know, that's how you build your self-worth. And so that's what it means to me, you know, and having a really strong presence of self-love. And then you can share that with others. You understand that you are worthy, that you are a gift, that you can share that instead of looking for somebody to give you, you know, something, give you their treasures so you can feel worthy.
I always wanted to know with the Oscar situation, did that save your marriage? And the reason I ask that is, you know, I've been married 22 years. Charlamagne's been married a long time. But in a household, especially a marriage, right? Your wife will always be mad at you, right? But you can't be mad at him. I could be mad at him. I'm not going to let you tear him down. Yeah, I could tear him down in the house. So did that save your marriage?
I would say what it definitely did is that it accelerated what I think was already in the process, right? It was in that moment that I knew. I was like, oh, no. Nah, 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 nah. Nah, 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 nah. We gonna do this together. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be by your side. And I know that I'll never leave your side, right? Because it's funny, because in emotional crisis, I didn't blink. And that's when I knew deep down inside. I'm like, that's your guy.
Yeah.
That's your guy.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, and you, there's no getting away from him. You've been trying. You know, really, you don't want to go nowhere. Mm-hmm. Stop it. And so it was that incident that I knew right away. I was like, yo, we in it. You know? And so that was it. But I think that was the trajectory anyway. It just, in an instant, solidified it.
Got you.
Yeah.
Got you.
It, you know, if y'all have been separated all of these years, if you read the book, you realize that, right? Mm-hmm. And Will never said anything about it. Why did you feel now was the time to reveal that information? Was it just to sell books like some people think?
Oh, no. It's part of the process. You know, it was part of like, part of my self-worth journey. Mm-hmm. Like I had to really, I was leaning on Will in a lot of ways. And I think for women specifically, how a lot of times our relationships are used to identify us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was a really important process and so much a really important thing to talk about, because so much of my journey happened in that time when it was just me.
That's right.
You know, and I think that, and I also wanted people to realize that sometimes marriages go through breaks like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and for people out there who are thinking about, yo, should I just get separated? Should I, you know, get a divorce? I'm like, man, just take time for you. Have the courage. If you got the courage to sign divorce papers or, you know, go to lawyers and get, just have the courage to figure out how to just take time for you and then see what's showing up for you, right? Because sometimes divorce is the answer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes legal separation is the answer. But first and foremost, just take a year. Take a year. See what shows up. You know, before you start going into like all these other processes, because sometimes we can act so quickly out of anger and frustration and we just want to get away and we think that's the answer, you know, and in some cases it is, but in some cases it's not.
How did you feel when you talk about the truth, right? And you say a big reason of this book is you can help other people, other marriage, other couples that are dealing with it and don't know how to express it because they've never seen it, right? Mm-hmm. And the press and the public says, you know, Jada is embarrassing Will. Mm. And you just said you were doing it because you wanted to live in your truth. So what do you say to those people that thought that it was just embarrassing Will and dehumanizing him and taking his masculine?
I want to quote Anna Navarro of The View. She said, you are emasculating and embarrassing Will.
Mm. Oh, well, I think if she took time to read the book, you know, I think that if you want to try to kind of, if you want to just read headlines, you know, I could see how that could be confusing, right? But the book is right here. You got two books you can read, actually.
Yeah,
you can read my book and Will's book, which is so great that a lot of people are doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, but people have the right to their opinions, you know? And I always know that anybody who's saying that hasn't really done their homework,
mm-hmm.
you know? But you got to expect it, too, because of what the headlines are, mm-hmm. you know, what clickbait is.
Mm-hmm.
So, Will knows what it is. I know what it is. My kids know what it is. And more importantly, Great Supreme does too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's really all I'm concerned with at the end of the day.
Do you keep a checklist of some of those people that, or you just let it go?
Like I
some
let
of
those, it go.
You let
man.
It go?
Yeah, I let it go. It's like, because let me tell you, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been there. It's like, I'm not going to sit up here and act like I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been there that's like thinking I know based on headlines, thinking I know based on whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I have no judgment because I've been there.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you something about the headline thing, but you made me think of something because I when you brought up Will's book, do you think, I know 90s Hollywood was fantastic. It's one of my favorite eras. I love every black king and queen from that era. But do you think 90s Hollywood helped or hurt y'all as people because y'all had to keep up such an image?
Yeah.
Everything was an image. Everything was curated. I remember Will saying you couldn't even curse
because
of who he was. So y'all weren't really allowed to be your human selves.
Yeah, we definitely weren't. We weren't allowed to be our human selves. And not only that, you know, it was like blackness was accepted on screen, but off screen, the more black you were, the more isolated you were going to be in regards to your opportunities in mm-hmm. Hollywood, mm. right? And so I do believe that that era in that way, you know, but and not even just us as you know, the black community within Hollywood, but Hollywood in itself, because mm-hmm. you're meant to live up to this ideal that is not really realistic at mm-hmm. all, you know? And so, you know, it can be challenging in that way.
Well, Will did y'all have problems from other black people? Because when you think about it, you and Will had a different level of success
mm-hmm.
than a lot of your black peers. So even, like you said, you was catching hell from the white folks. Did your black people start giving you hell too?
You know, I wouldn't say that we were catching hell from anybody,
mm-hmm.
right? It was just, it's just the criteria of Hollywood, mm-hmm. right?
Gotcha.
And, you know, I don't, catching hell versus like what is simmering beneath, you know, because then you got the jealousy and you got mm-hmm. the, you know, the envious. But that's all part of it as mm-hmm. well. I don't think that's unique.
When Will was up here, he talked about being insecure a little bit about Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all ever have that conversation? Because as a man, when you're a little insecure, I almost feel like you play both sides. You want to be yourself, but you want to show that you're better than the person that's making him insecure. You're tougher than, or smarter than, or more romantic than, or a poet than, a better rapper than.
Yeah.
Did y'all ever have that conversation?
I wouldn't say that we had conversations in that way. It was just like, you know, we came up in an era where it was so unusual for a man and a woman to be friends. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, really think about mm-hmm. it. Like, that's more of an open idea now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But just think, in our era, that was just like friends.
They had to be dating.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. what? Right? And so I think for him, it was just like getting your mind around that, you know? And that the kind of friendship that we had, because we had such a, you know, tight friendship. That, you know, was very impactful on my life. You know, so I think it was just getting the understanding around, you know, that Tupac and I could be friends, you know, and that he was a part of my life in that way. And so just, we had a lot of conversations around just those ideas.
How did he get over that?
I think he just realized that. And I really can't speak for Will. You should probably ask him when mm-hmm. he comes back. But I think he just realized that that's what it was. You know what I mean? It was like, that's what it was. It's like, you know, that was that beautiful friendship. And I think once he as he got older, started having his own friendships with women, like, oh, that is possible.
And how are you with that?
I always told Will, you need some female friends.
Did you?
Yes, because I think men and women, I think men do need female friends and women need male friends. And I actually think men, once they have daughters.
I got four.
Four daughters.
Yeah, I got four too.
And majority female friends.
There you go. But I see, let me ask you a question. Would you say that having daughters helped you understand?
Absolutely.
And see, I think that's what happened to Will. I think once Willow came, you know, and then he started to realize a different relationship with the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then he realized, oh, wow. You know, you can have relationships with women that are non-sexual, or however y'all have to, you know, manage that in your own minds, mm-hmm. right? But I think once Willow came, she was his teacher on that for sure. Mm-hmm. And so he was able to have female friends.
I want to ask you about some of your male friends. What man do you think had more of an impact on your early life, Chet or Pac?
Oh, man. They both did in different ways. Mm-hmm. They both did in different ways. Yeah, I mean, Chet taught me a whole lot.
That was plug, right?
That was
the plug.
That was my dude, you know? Mm-hmm. Chet put me on in a big way, mm-hmm. you know? And through him, I learned a lot. Even lessons that I keep till this day, just like, just being on the low, just, you know what I'm saying? And then Pac, you know, Pac taught me about Black power, you know? And so many other things. But yeah, they both taught me so much in different ways.
Where is Chet now?
Chet is in LA.
Okay.
Yeah, Chet is in LA. I brought him out to LA.
I heard he works for you or something.
He works with me, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See? That's crazy.
Yeah, once he got out.
You read the book, you understand.
The plug,
crazy.
The plug,
yeah.
The plug works for you now.
Well, he doesn't, he works with me.
Mm-hmm.
He, once he got out, because he did 10 years. He was supposed to do 12. He did 10. He just wanted to
change his life.
That's right. And I said, I got you. Come on out. And so that's where he's been.
You know how many people would completely turn their back on that part of their life?
Oh, yeah. No, never.
And wouldn't even look out for those individuals no more?
No, Chet, nah. Like, he was... He looked out for me in so many ways, you know? And so I couldn't do that.
Right.
There's no way. And you know, he's got his Hefe lifestyle situation happening. You know, he's building his own, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. His own situation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's my dude. Like we've been through too much together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you talk about in the Living the Dream chapter how you and Pac used to argue about the ways Black men justified mistreating Black women.
Mm-hmm.
You had the epiphany that you and Pac were arguing about the right to feel loved.
Loved, yeah.
Could you expound on that?
Yeah, it was like, and so this was during a time when we were both in Hollywood and just trying to figure out, like, how is it that we're here? And just, we both felt like once we made it, we were gonna be straight.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to, you know, just relationships and just like, you know, I would get on him about certain lyrics in his music. And so we were in this power struggle about how Black men should be treated, how Black women should be treated. So I was coming from this position of my overall feeling of lack of self-worth. Pac was coming from a position of his overall feeling of not... feeling respected, validated through, you know, the feminine, and me through the masculine. And it was, you know, on this broad conversation, but at the end of the day, it had everything to do with how we felt about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, in our intimate lives when it came to men and when, you know, and for him when it came to women and how it was being expressed in this debate around cultural representation. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, we were really talking about ourselves.
You just want to be loved.
I just want to be loved. I just want to be loved, you know?
I wish we could lead with that. I think back, you know, we probably didn't y'all probably didn't have the language back then.
Yeah.
So it's like now in a marriage, you can say, I just want us to be happy.
Right.
You can say, I just want to be loved.
Loved.
So we can, let's focus on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do we just learn how to love each other? Mm-hmm. And I think what, one of the biggest lessons that I'm learning is that we're in the game of relating, of learning how to love. Like, expecting that people show up knowing how to do that is really a false idea, right? It's like, we're learning how to love each other.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are we learning how to love each other in our homes, but even in the world, you know? It's like, and the people who choose to lead with love or choose to be willing to learn how to love, cool. And there are going to be people that's not, they don't want to. They're too afraid to. So they're going to lead with negativity. They're going to lead and thinking that that's what gives them power and thinking that's what keeps them safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay too. You know, it's like this world is made of all things, so many things, and you just got to learn to accept it all.
Well, we do, one thing about marriage, we have to make sacrifices, right, for each other. Do you feel like your career would be a lot bigger if you didn't make a lot of the sacrifices? I remember in Will's book, he talked about that you made a lot of sacrifices for his career. And there's a lot of things I'm sure that you passed up that you didn't do because you were supporting him and taking care of home. Do you feel like this, that there's a, you would be way bigger as an actress if you didn't make those sacrifices?
You know, I think that for me, that was never my goal. And he used to ask me all the time, he was like, why don't you want to be the biggest, you know, actress in the world?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. Thank God I didn't, because you can't have a family and two people trying to, you know. I wanted to have a loving, tight-knit family. I wanted to create the family that I never had. That was my goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so at the end of the day, anything that I gave up, sure, it was sacrifice for Will, but it was sacrifice for my family. And I got the family I always wanted to have. So I would say it was a sacred sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
It was really sacred, you know, because I feel like in order to have some things that you really want, that's what it takes, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I have no regrets on that.
Were you ever envious of Will's success?
Hell no. No.
Mm-hmm.
I, at times, wished that that might not have been the focus all the time, you know, but one thing I always admired about him was his drive. You know, it's one of the things I love about Will, you know? And so I was always cheering that on, but I never really wanted that. I'm not built like that.
Because there was one part of the book when you were pitching a movie, I forgot what the movie was, and the producer was like, only if Will can EP it, and
yeah.
He chose not to do it. And I was like, well, that's strange, because they ended up having a production company together anyway.
Absolutely. But at that particular point of time, being young and feeling like I didn't want anybody to feel that that was how to get to Will was through me.
Gotcha.
So if you let one person come in that makes that request and you say yes, that's going to open up
the
floodgates for everybody to think, oh, all you got to do is get with Jada and then Will's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now anytime Will and I decided in our home that we were building a project together that we wanted to do together, that was our choice. No outside forces were going to come in and tell me you're not willing to work with me unless you have Will. Mm-hmm. You don't have that power. You don't have that choice. Will and I decide that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
All right.
How did the kids deal with everything, that the ups and downs in your relationship, especially being so public, right? Because I remember when Willow released the single, I Whip My Hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't hear anything after that, because it almost felt like that wasn't her. Like, she did that for something else. And then when she came back out, it was totally different than the child whipping my hair back and forth. So how did the kids deal with everything and being in that limelight?
You know, I talk a little bit about Willow's journey in the book, because we had we were on a parallel line. I mean, when she was 11, she was telling jokers no, right? Strong with it too, just mm-hmm. like no. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, no. You know, it was like, and I realized like, yo, JD, you got to get your no back. Willow mm-hmm. was teaching me how to get my no back. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so it's funny because they've had their challenges for sure, but they don't really get caught up in the Will and I stuff. Like even like when it was so much stuff going on, we not even on young people's timeline. You know what I'm saying? Right. They like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Cool. I'm straight. I'm worried about this next single I'm about to put out and this video. Mom, all is well, you know? And as far as their own fame and dealing with their own stuff, they've really have had to learn how to navigate that. And I think part of that is just having come up in the social media world. Mm-hmm. And so whether you have, you know, 50 followers or you got, you know, 20 million followers, young people have to figure out how to navigate having all of these outside voices on their pages mm-hmm. saying whatever they need to say. And I mm-hmm. think that's just part of that generational kind of navigation that all young people have to figure out and work through, and they've done a really good job with it.
We don't know that yet. We don't know what the
well, that's true. We don't know. Yeah. Well, I was talking about Willow and Jaden.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, they've done a pretty good job. But you're right. We don't know what the social impact is going to be. You're right.
How have your kids contributed to your journey of worthiness?
I would say they were. I won't say the first, but. Having my kids love me as hard as they do unconditionally has just been so beautiful, because not only do they love me and embrace me as their mother, but just as a woman on her journey. You know what I mean? And throughout my life with them, like Jaden was the one that when I was in that crisis, now he didn't know I was in crisis, but Jaden just happened to come into the kitchen and go, Moises and Mateo are out here talking about their dad who just did this freaking plant called ayahuasca. You gotta come hear this.
And if people would have read the book, they wouldn't have said Jaden introduced
Jada
to ayahuasca.
Yeah.
It made it seem like he had it in the backyard. I was like, Mom, try this. That's what it did. It sounds like with a headline.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like, his friend's father had done it and they were explaining it to Jaden. And then I talked to their dad, you know, who I had known for a moment. And he came in and, you know, he was like, this new guy. And I was like, yo, I need that. And then within a month, there was a ceremony in Ojai. And I was there and I got my own healing, you know, but it just goes to show you how the universe works, you know? And so, and then Trey, my goodness, my love for him, you know, brought me close to his mom so that he could have, and Cherie has been such a great teacher for me, Enrico. She was probably one of the first relationships where I had to really work on my ego.
What you mean?
Meaning like, all this insecurities, all of the competitive envy, jealousy, you know, of like, this is mine, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, no, it's actually not. You mm-hmm. know, it's like there's a Trey, that's his mother, and if you're gonna love Trey, you're gonna have to learn to love her, and you're gonna have to learn to embrace her as family and her family in order to make a family for Trey. So I had to let go of all my stuff. Mm. And what a ride that was. You know, like for real. And so was like one of my first.
They would always talk about how Will would go on vacation with just her.
Well, not just her.
It wasn't just her?
No, not like that. It would be like, so for instance, when he did his his book tour and he went to London. Mm-hmm. So it was his mom and his sisters and I think Trey went and Cherie, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they'll take trips and I'm not there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not to say it'll just be the two of them.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, she's family. So she's invited everywhere.
So even before y'all were separated, you never had no insecurities about that when that would happen?
No. No. It's very clear with the two of them, there is nothing going on. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, you know, I mean, they've been married, so they've gone through that process of all that. So ain't nothing.
Most women would ask, how did you get over that? Because how do you get over the ex-wife or the ex-girl or the baby mama? Like, how did you say, you know what? I'm going to let this go. I'm not going to let my ego. We're not going to see who the flies at Thanksgiving anymore. We're not going to see who cooks the best jerk chicken. Like, we're not going to go through that anymore.
Well, she's going to outcook me every time. Okay. So I'm going to just put that on the table. But yeah, I mean, because, you know, there's Cherie. There's also Tayana, who's his ex, who, you know, is still in the circle as well. And
what the ex got to do? Why the ex in the circle?
Well, because Scotty, her husband, works with Will.
Got you. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, that's just like, you know, she was an important part of his journey as well. And mm-hmm. you got to respect that. You got to respect that. You know, it's like, and there's no like, all of this kind of like idea of competitiveness versus it's like, if you love, I love the man that Will is, I'm gonna respect all of the pieces that got him there, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't me just coming into his life that, you know, it's like he had a whole history before mm-hmm. I came. You know what I'm saying?
So did you.
So did I. So I'm like, if I need you to respect my friendship with Pac and what he meant to me, I gotta respect those pieces of your life that mm-hmm. helped you become who you are.
That's different. That's a different level of healing, Jada.
I mean,
woo.
You know, that's just that to me is where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's at.
I think it's easy to understand if everybody can just understand that men and women can just
be
friends.
Especially, okay. Look, the easy part is I'm not saying there's some new John coming in that's different.
See the Baltimore just come out on
that
right there?
Philly.
That was Philly. Yeah, that was Philly.
You know
what
I'm saying?
That's
a different thing. So mm-hmm. when you're talking about people that he already went through a process with, been in a relationship with, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? That particular stage of that get down is done and over with. So there's a friendship mm-hmm. left there.
In the No Soccer Mom chapter, right, you shoot down every rumor there's ever been about y'all. That y'all are swingers, that y'all were both gay and playing each other's biz, that y'all were sleeping with whomever you choose.
Yeah.
How does it feel in 2023 to still have those same rumors out about people you love, like Will and Dwayne?
I know.
That just came out too recently.
Yeah, you know, and let me just say this. It's ridiculous, right? And it's nonsense. And this is a person that tried a money shakedown that didn't work. We're gonna take legal action. Because it's one thing to have your opinion about somebody versus just making up salacious, malicious stories. Mm-hmm. So that's actionable. So we're gonna roll with that. But yeah,
say, leave it alone. Don't go no further.
Yeah. Nobody said anything. Uh-oh. It's, you know, so for me, unfortunately, it's part of it. You know what I mean? It's not true. We gonna take care of it, and that's that.
How does so there was a money shakedown prior?
Oh, yeah. There was a money shakedown.
Oh, they tried to extort you before?
Like, well, it's based around this person's idea that they, in some way, were doing business around Will's book. And that they spent money or what have you, and that they needed to be compensated. So he already tried to do this money shakedown. Mm-hmm. Will was willing to give him a certain amount or what have you, and he didn't take it. So this whole situation is based on that.
Give him a certain amount. Why, though? Just
Well, because of some business that they had. And I don't know the complete details about it, but that's about to come out because, like I told you, about to take legal action.
All right. You should.
Yeah, no, we are, for sure.
I was asking, how's Will dealing with it? You know, with does
he
laugh it off?
Release a statement.
Here's one good thing about Will. Will's always going to find the funny.
I figured that.
Yeah, he's always going to find the funny. You know what I'm saying? And so
y'all laughed at the murder kill part?
Yeah. you have to because it's absolutely ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? And so all you have is you just got to laugh about it, you know? And it's unfortunate because
did he ask you like, do I look like I give off bottom energy?
He was like, do you believe this shit? You know, but we just laughed about it.
Got to ask about Tyrese. Now there was a rumor that Tyrese called you and said,
"Yes,
oh."
Because he said he called you on the phone. He was on meds. He was out of it.
Yeah.
And he told you, "I ain't no killer, Jada. I ain't no killer, but don't push me."
Oh.
Revenge is like the sweetest joy, and that's getting pushy. He don't know why. He's
is
like,
that true?
So Tyrese did call me, for sure. And he was definitely in a state, and I was really concerned. You know. And I'm just happy.
Did he quote Tupac, though? He said he quoted. Him and Charlie Mack said he quoted Tupac.
He called Tupac?
No, he said he called you and quoted Tupac.
He may have. Let me tell you something. I was so worried at that time when he made that call about his state because it was really deeply concerning. That I couldn't even tell you exactly what happened because I'm trying to think about who I can get there, who can I get in the house, how can I get him help? Yeah, and so that I was a little panicked, you know, to just make sure that he was okay and that nothing was going to happen. He wasn't going to hurt himself or anybody else, so. I don't even remember
what he said.
What he said.
I want to talk about the book and a debate I had at dinner a couple of weeks ago with some friends. Because in the book you say that you and Will decided to separate in every way except legally.
Yeah.
And y'all would have complete transparency, no secrets about what y'all were doing and whom y'all were doing it with.
Right.
And the debate we were having was, well, earlier in the book she said that they've never been in an open relationship, but isn't that an open relationship?
Well, here's the difference between that. That's when you're in an open relationship and you are still intimate with each other, right? At that point, we went our separate ways. So it's as if we are divorced, separated, and just trying to figure out how we're going to go about it. But at that particular point in time, we were no longer relating in that way, right? Because for us, it was over. It was done. So if you're in an open relationship, that means that you are still in a relationship with one another.
Romantically, yeah. Somehow,
and you are okay with being with other people romantically.
Like y'all were separated.
We were separated. Like, done. Done.
Why did you choose not to say August's name in the book?
Really just to, I felt like he's been through enough. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I just wanted to be respectful in that manner. I really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel like that's something that you need to heal? Like that situation?
I'm hoping at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm definitely hoping at some point for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you too, if you pick a crew to run with in real life, would you choose between the cast of Set It Off or the cast of Girls?
Set It Off.
Oh, that's a hard one. Damn, Charlamagne, that's a hard one.
Set It Off. They was riders.
They were riders for sure. But you know, both crews, they got, you know, they got something real special. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a plead the fifth on that.
Plead the fifth.
I only got two more questions. Like when you're having these conversations now, how do you know, in your words, that this isn't the pseudo guru using rationale and borrowed wisdom to tell you what you want to hear?
because it sits so beautifully in my heart. Now, what I will say about that is that's why you gotta always stay open, because as we continue to grow and learn, you know, it's Bruce Lee said it best, be like water. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because that's where I'm sitting right now. Who knows when I come back, if you know what it'll be then. Mm-hmm. Because we just gotta stay open, we gotta stay fluid. But for now, it's what speaks to me deeply. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's all we got, mm-hmm. you know, for the moment.
My last question, and it's a quote, right? And the quote is, other people's opinion of you, whether it's good or bad, should not be grounds in which you base your self-worth. Your value is inherent within you. What matters the most is whether you know you are worthy.
That's right.
So do you know you're worthy?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It really comes from, and I wanted to say this in regards to the question you asked about self-worth, really dealing with self-judgment. Like once we can cure our self-judgment in a certain manner, right? People's opinion about you can only affect you if you believe it. Mm. You know what I mean? Once you really know who you are, once you really know your self-worth, anything that anybody else has to say about you really can't affect you. Mm-hmm. You know? And so, you know, I know how much work it's taken for me to get to know myself. I can't expect anybody else to know me like that. Mm. You know what I mean? So I have to be willing and accept whatever opinions come my way. I get it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Jada Pinkett Smith, Pinkett ladies Smith. And gentlemen.
That's right.
Thank
we
you for coming.
Appreciate you for joining us so much.
Appreciate this conversation guys. So much. Guys. Thank you. This was beautiful.
The book
thank
Worthy
you.
Is out right now. Make sure you get it and thank you.
Thank you.
Don't be a stranger.
No, I won't. Not all right. at all.
It's The Breakfast Club. It's Jada Pinkett Smith.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.